Hey guys, and welcome to the world of Aja Pearl. It's my world, and I'm so happy you're here. Today we're going to be doing a read from chapter 7 from the book Chalice, the Book of Life. It begins with the verse from the book Psalms, chapter 84, verse 11, which reads, "For the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give you grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly." Hey, little mama, Jabari greets Zora. "Hey, what's up?" Jabari greets back. "I was about to go get something to eat. Will you still be here?" "Yeah, for a while. Then I have to get to class." "Okay, I'll be right back." "Okay, cool." As always for Jabari, then she hears a voice call to her. "Zora," a voice calls to her. She looks up. It was Anton. Zora asks, "What do you want, Anton?"
I just wanted to say hi," he replies.
"Hi."
She goes back to writing her notes. Anton feels like he's talking to a brick wall. Zora is very cold and uninviting. He senses that he walks into an awkward moment, but he has to tell Zora how he feels. Anton starts, "I miss you, Zora. If I was not going through this arranged marriage, we'd still be together. I know you hate me for hurting you. I will not fight that argument. I hurt the love of my life. But no matter what happens, you will always live in my heart." Zora continues to write her notes and says nothing. Anton eventually walks away. Her anger tries to fight her true emotions, but her true emotions won. Zora puts her head down and begins to cry. She gently puts her hand on her stomach. "I'm having your baby, Anton. Our baby," Zora thinks to herself. She takes a napkin from the dispenser to wipe her tears. Then out of the blue, Jabari comes and sits with her. "Zizi, are you okay?" Jabari asks.
"Yeah, I'll be fine,"
Zora says. "It's about Anton, right? I mean, it's hard not to see him around campus."
"No, I guess it's my hormones. I read that pregnant women cry from the littlest things."
"Well, okay. So I guess this means you won't be here long, huh?"
"Yeah.
How long do you have until you leave Holy Chalice?"
"About a month and a half."
"Okay.
Why?"
Jabari is so nervous, he can feel his throat pulsing. However, he takes a deep breath and with caution to the wind. Jabari asks,
How would you feel if I told you I had a plan to keep you in Holy Chalice?"
Zora asks, What plan is that?"
"Marriage."
"Marriage? To whom?"
"Me."
"You?
Jabari, you're a great guy and all, but you're like a brother to me."
"No, it won't be a big deal. We'll get married in Metro Hall, and when we graduate, we'll just get to marry Chenault."
"I don't know."
"Zora."
"Yeah?
Do you want to leave?"
Zora looks at her friend, and she can see the sadness and heartbreak in his eyes.
"Wow, Jabari is serious," Zora thinks to herself.
"No,"
Zora finally replies. "So let's get married," Jabari explains. "Besides, we don't have to live together, and we don't have to have sex with each other.
So basically, this would be an open marriage."
"Pretty much, yep."
"Oh, okay. Wait, what about our parents? They're not going to agree with this plan in an instant."
Meanwhile, Isaac comes to Zora's table with a breakfast platter.
"Dude, are you going to the electric chair? It's a lot of food," Jabari says.
"I'm a growing boy,"
Isaac exclaims, taking a bite out of his buttered toast.
"That's what my mom tells me."
"Zora's a growing girl." Oh, do you? No, thanks. However, I'll take that apple for later, Zora replied, grabbing the apple from his tray. So what's going on? Isaac asked. Did I miss anything? Why do you ask? It looked like you two of you were having a very intense conversation. Well, Jabari started, sitting back in his chair. I asked Zizi to marry me. Isaac almost choked on the news. He asked to drink his orange juice to wash the food down. What did you say? Isaac asked. I asked Zizi to marry me, says Jabari. For real? You're marrying Jabari? Cool. Now you can forget Anton. I didn't say yes, Zora intercepts. Plus, it was more like a suggestion than an actual proposal. Why not? Isaac asks. We cannot get married without telling our parents. Yeah, that's right. What if I asked your mother for your hand in marriage? It would be more respectable that way, suggested Jabari. Well, my mom likes you, adds Zora, and this would be a burden off her shoulders knowing that her daughter and grandchild would no longer be a single parent unit. Okay. Can we do it tonight? No, not tonight. She's working late at the hospital tonight. So when? I don't know. I'll let you know before I get fatter. Zora looks at the time and sees it's time for her to go to class. Guys, I have to go, Zora says. I'll catch up with you later, okay? Okay, says Jabari. Later, Isaac replies, eating the rest of his breakfast. Thanks for the apple, Zora says. After shoveling more food in his mouth, Isaac says, I don't get it. Get what? Asked Jabari. This marriage thing with Zora, what's the big deal? The deal is, if we get married, she can finish college. Man, I'll never understand these rules in this school. It's a great school, but my family had to go through so much to get me here. Yeah? I thought you didn't have a father. I don't, but I have an uncle who made a fake birth certificate for me. Word? Yup. He was able to use the same paper manufactured in Puerto Rico, typed it up, and ta-da! Instant birth certificate. My uncle put his name and his wife's name as my parents. I had to verify that they were my parents. So I had to fly to Puerto Rico. Then the recruiters from the school came to visit my aunt and uncle so that they can show that I was their son. A few days later, after recruits left, I came back home. It was crazy, man. It sounds crazy. Right now, Zora needs a husband. I want to marry Zora to keep her in school. It has nothing to do with love. It's all about friendship. That's great. That's great, but how could you marry someone you don't love? I plan to marry Fabiola someday. I do love her, as my friend. What did your mother say? She said no. What if you and Zora want to go your separate ways? We'll get an annulment. I don't know, man. I hope it works out. Me too. For Christians, Sunday is a day of rest. Most businesses are closed on this day, including Newkirk's. Therefore, when Christopher is not being a successful proprietor, he is a doting husband and father, he is playing basketball with Isham and his childhood friend in his childhood basketball court. It is a weekly ritual for Christopher and his friends. After church on Sunday, the men will get together and play a few rounds of basketball. This is their day to bond and to be themselves. Christopher and his friends are playing ball, joking with each other, and having their usual playful banter. They always have a great time and always work up a huge appetite. They get their things and leave the basketball court to have some lunch. "Man, I'm starving," Christopher says. "What would you like to eat?" "I'm craving burgers and fries," Isham says. "Sounds good to me. Hey, Alex, I will cover your tab," Chris says. "Oh, no, I'll eat something later," Father Rector rejects. "Stop it. You always say that. Let me treat you, please." "Okay," he twisted my arm. "I have no, you can pay me back by being a good friend." "Deal." The friends start walking down the block to the nearest diner. "Great game, gentlemen," Isham says sarcastically. "Gentlemen, we were playing basketball, not golf," says Father Rector. Father Alexander Rector is one of Christopher's childhood friends. He and Christopher have known each other since they were altar boys. He performs Christopher in Valentine's wedding. "True, true. So what made you join the priesthood?" Isham asks. "I don't know. I guess it was embedded in me since I was a little boy," Father Rector starts. "My parents thought that being an altar boy would keep me out of trouble. I thought it would bore me out of my mind. Then I met Chris, and he made it more bearable. Next thing I know, we became buddies." "Cool, but why did you not become a priest like your homeboy, Chris?" Isham asks.
Being an altar boy was okay because of Alex, but the priesthood was not my plan," Christopher says. "I wanted to be a businessman. Then along the way, I met Val. I thought I had to choose between my dreams and my dream girl, but Valentine had been more than my wife and mother of my children. She's a supporter, my partner, and my best friend. Valentine is everything." "Oh, there was no ill will," Father Rector adds. "We may leave different paths in our lives, but our friendship is still strong. I perform their wedding ceremony, as you can see. I slay him on the court."
"Whatever, whatever. I let you slay me. It wouldn't be right if I schooled a priest on the court," Chris says jokingly. They all laugh. "Wow, man," Isham says, feeling sentimental. "I hope the woman of my dreams is as great as Val." "Patience is a virtue, my friend," Father Rector advises. There was someone I sort of like."
"Really? Who?"
"Never mind. You'll all laugh at me."
"No, we won't. Tell us," badgers Christopher.
I don't know."
"Ish, you have already opened the bag. Let the cat out of it," Father Rector said.
Okay, fine. "It's Orchid."
"Orchid?
Yeah.
Are you referring to Goldilocks, the waitress at my bar?" Christopher asks.
"That's the one."
"Are you serious, dude?"
"I'm dead serious."
"Who is Orchid?" Father Rector asks.
"Orchid is one of the waitresses at the bar. She's a sweet girl and very pretty."
"What's wrong with her?"
"There's nothing wrong with her. I just don't think she and Ish are incompatible."
"Opposites attract, Chris," Isham retaliates. "Isham has a point. Opposites attract every day, and if two opposites are attracted to each other, it's no one else's business," Father Rector says.
"I guess you're right. I'm sorry, Ish," Christopher apologizes.
"It's cool," Isham accepts. "It's your opinion."
"So what brought on this attraction to Orchid besides her looks?"
"You know that picture of Jesus on the wall by the front door?"
"Yeah."
She was so intrigued by it because she never saw Jesus that way. That way? I don't understand. I don't want to get into details, but all her life she was taught that Jesus was a being to be feared. She was never taught that Jesus was a loving and forgiving God. So you're attracted to her because of her negative outlook on Jesus? No. I saw a beautiful human being who was misguided and mistreated so badly. Now she only wants to start her life over with a clean slate, leaving her past behind. I want to be part of that new beginning. That's very beautiful-ish, but what if the feeling's not mutual? Well, I hope it is, but if it's not, I hope we can still be friends. They finally reach the diner. They find a booth and proceed to look at the menu. After a few minutes, the waitress comes to their table and their choice of drink. Chris orders a soda, Ishan orders a milkshake, and Father Rector orders ice water. The waitress takes their order for their drinks and asks if they're ready to order food. They're still indecisive, so the waitress leaves the table and gives them more time. Wow, everything looks so good, Ishan says, looking at the menu. Yeah. Hey, this chicken club sandwich looks good, Christopher says. I'll have that. What are you having, Alex? I haven't had a cheeseburger and fries in a long time. I'll have that. That sounds awesome. I'll have the same, Ishan says. Well, my son, Father Rector says, I hope it works out for you and this young woman. Ishan's mind begins to wander. The sound of high-heeled shoes attached to a pair of smooth, sexy legs walks towards the table. Then a soft, dainty hand places a tall milkshake on the table. Here's your milkshake, sir, a dainty voice says. Thank you, Ishan says as he looked at the waitress, but he had to do a double take. He was not only shocked at Orchid. He was not shocked that Orchid was waiting on him, but the fact that she was half naked. A white orchid laid in her golden ringlets in her hair. She wore a silk white teddy with matching high heels. Orchid. Hey, baby. Ishan says. Hello, Ishan. I'm so glad to see you, Ishan replies. Not as much as I am to see you. Is there anything else I can do for you? Oh yeah, baby. There's something I can do for you. Orchid giggled. Ish. Ishan. Ishan Mejia, Christopher exclaims. Huh? Ishan answers abruptly. Are you okay? Yeah, why? You had a humongous goofy smile on your face. It was creepy. Oh, sorry about that. He was probably thinking about that waitress, Orchid. Am I right? Father Rector concludes. Ishan blushes. Hey, guy, Father Rector says. I didn't mean to make you feel bad. Yeah, Christopher adds. We're only yanking your chain. Quit being so sensitive. I'm not sensitive, but I dig this chick. She's not like the other chicks. She's special, Ishan confirms. I don't know, Ish. Mixing business with pleasure is a deadly combination. A rule people foolishly ignores. I don't want you and Orchid to turn my bar into a real-life soap opera. Chris, I haven't asked her out on a date. Not yet, at least. Christopher shakes his head. I still don't know about this, Ish, but promise me one thing. I only ask you and Orchid to leave your romance outside the bar. Got it? Christopher says. Fine. I mean it. I hear you. After having lunch, the three friends leave the diner together. Ishan looks at his watch and sees it's almost 2 p.m. Hey, guys, I have to go, he tells Christopher and Father Rector. So soon? Where are you going? Christopher asked. I had to meet with somebody. Is it Orchid? Oh, man. Look, I'll see you later. Isham hurries the opposite direction to catch the bus to the bus stop. As Isham runs to catch the bus, Christopher shouts, okay, remember you have work tomorrow. Don't be late. Christopher and Father Rector continue walking the rest of the way. What's going on with Isham? Father Rector asks. I wish I had the answer, Christopher says. He's been acting very strangely and being very irresponsible with work. Do you think it has anything to do with Orchid? No. It's just weird behavior started before I hired Orchid. Maybe he's still mourning over Nevin. I don't know the situation, but he needs to fix it. You have to have faith and keep being a good friend to him. Alex, I've been more than patient. Whoa. Suddenly, Christopher sees Orchid walking into a motel. What? What's wrong? Father Rector asks. It's her. Christopher exclaims. Who? Orchid, my waitress. I saw her walk into that motel. Why would she be at a motel? I don't know. Not many good things happen at a motel, and she's too much of a nice girl. What is she doing there? Does she have work tomorrow? I think so. Well, if she works tomorrow, I think you should talk to her. If she's doing something illegal, she may be in danger, but others might be in danger too. Yeah, you're right. Okay, people, it's time to break into groups again, Sister Mary Hoyt announces. It is the Bible studies class later that day. Jabari, Isaac, and Anton form a group to discuss and analyze the Pentateuch. Instead, they discuss and analyze Anton's potential love connection. That was quite of a shindig your friends and family put on for you and your wife, Isaac says sarcastically. She's not my wife, man, Anton says offensively. And it was okay. Are you kidding? Fab said that she felt like she was in a Bollywood movie. She watches those? I was shocked too. Oh, my homeboy told me about those movies, Jabari asked. He had to do research on the culture of India. So not only he went to the library to do research, but he also watched those Bollywood movies. Oh, really? So what did he get on his paper? Isaac asked. He aced it. Now he's hooked on Bollywood movies. They laugh. It's nice to know that your friend appreciates my culture, Anton says. He watches Bollywood movies because he loves the women in the movies, Jabari confesses. Now he tells me he wants to marry a girl from India or the neighboring country. Does your friend know that we are not all the same? What do you mean? For example, an Indian, a Bengali, and a Pakistani are different. We are from the Southeast, but different countries. You have a point, but I don't think he reads too much into that. He likes that type of woman because they're exotic to him. Isaac and Anton laugh. I cannot lie, Anton agrees. The women in my culture are hot, especially ones with British accents. Isaac and Jabari looked at each other with dismay. So, your soon-to-be is British? Jabari asked. Yeah, well, she was born in the U.S. shortly after her family migrated to India. Soon she and her family migrated to the United Kingdom, Anton explains. And you think she's hot? And you think she's hot, Isaac asks. I guess, Anton confesses. In other words, you like her, Jabari determines. She's okay. Tony, if you're attracted to her, it's okay. I bet it is okay, Isaac thinks to himself. Marrying your homeboy's ex-girlfriend who's having his baby? Damn. Besides, she's going to be your wife and mother of your children, Jabari concludes. Zara already blessed that pawn, Jabari thinks to himself. What's her name anyway? Isaac asks. Nataline. Nataline. That's different. Wow, that's news. I heard the names Natalie or Natasha, confesses Jabari. So you like her because she has a British accent. Wait, British accent? I thought she was Indian, Isaac says. Nataline is Indian, but she lived here in the city until her family moved to the United Kingdom. Oh, okay. So how long is she staying in the States? A year. A year? What about school? Nataline is taking a year off from school. Oh, so you like her because of her accent and she's hot? Yeah. When you dance with her, does she come across as stuck up, down to earth, or a tomboy? Isaac, Jabari exclaims. What? You should know you were there. Yeah, but Fabiola and I did not get a chance to talk to Tony because he was too preoccupied with Nataline. Nataline. And she was nice. She seemed to be just as nervous as me. So now you met the woman who you're going to marry. What happens next? Jabari asks. We will go out on dates, spend some time together until the engagement. With a chaperone, of course. A chaperone? A chaperone, Isaac asks. So, you and she are not allowed to? Anton shakes his head and says, not until we're married. Oh, no. I can't and will not do that. See, when a man finds candy as delectable as my Fabiola, and in your case, Anton, Zora, and Nataline, I cannot help but to take a bite. The three friends laugh. True, but if a man waits for the right time to take that bite, it would be more meaningful, Anton explains. Drop that science, Tony. Drop that science, supports Jabari. What are you saying? Isaac asks, feeling somewhat offended. I love Fab less because I did not wait until our wedding night. She was down too. I am telling you, it is my culture. Besides, our divorce rate is very low. Anton realizes that he just predicted his future. We might be together for the rest of our lives, Anton thinks to himself. So when is the date? Isaac asks. Huh? Oh, I don't know yet. Maybe this weekend. Are you excited? Jabari asks. Sort of, Anton says. Honestly, I'm a nervous wreck. Oh, don't sweat it, Tony. Think of her as another girl and not your future wife. That way, you won't be so nervous. You think that'll work? I don't see why not, but it's only a suggestion. Anton had awakened from his nap on his family's couch. He sat up and stretched his arms. Suddenly, he heard the water from the bathroom. Who's in the bathroom? He thought. Mommy? Anton called out. Daddy? Monique? There was no answer. Anton's curiosity began to grow. He arose from the couch and started his path to the bathroom to satisfy his curiosity. As he walked towards the bathroom door, the sound of the water became louder and louder. When he opens the door, he saw a woman with long braided hair sitting on the edge of the tub and bathing a baby. When the woman turned around, Anton became white as a ghost. Hiya, sleepyhead, Nataline said when she turned around. Nataline? Anton replies with shock. What are you doing here? We live together, silly. Anton was puzzled. Come. And Nataline insisted. I need help bathing the baby. A baby? Anton asked. Oh, come on, Anton. Quit messing about now.
The baby playfully splashed the water. Madeline said to the baby, "Yeah, Daddy's messing about now." "Yeah, yeah." Anton said, "I am not what you said. Is this for real? Look, if you're going to mess about, forget it." All right, I'm sorry." Anton walked towards the bathtub. As he walked closer and closer to the tub, his eyes grew wide like the size of dinner plates. "Hi, Daddy," the baby said. Anton immediately opens his eyes and jumps up from the couch. He breathes heavily and quickly places his hand over his heart because it's beating hastily. "Damn, what the hell was that about?" he says. Anton staggers to the window to get some fresh air. The cool air caresses his face as he obliges It soothes his heart to the Anton staggers to the window to get some fresh air. The cool air caresses his face as it obliges the follicles of his hair to dance. It soothes his heart to his normal rhythm. However, his heart is still at the tug of war between Zara and Adeline, and his head is wrapped with confusion from his dream. It's so hard to get Zora out, it's so hard to let go of Zora. She is and always will be my first true love. And yet, I'm becoming more and more attracted to Adeline. Anton thinks to himself, "Oh Lord, please show my heart the direction of my rightful path. Might as well. Adeline is going to be my wife, I guess, and mother of my children." Anton takes a deep breath and walks away from the window into the kitchen. He goes to the refrigerator and takes a small bottle of juice. After taking a drink, he takes a deep breath. He is still trying to process that dream. What does it mean? Should it mean anything? "Anton," cried out the voice. "Huh?" Anton exclaims as he turned around to the owner of the voice. He realized it was his father, Agnello Braganza. "Oh, hey, Daddy," greets Anton. "Are you okay?" Agnello asks with concern. "Sure." Anton takes another drink from his juice. "Hey, is there another one of those juices in the icebox?" Agnello asks. "It's called a refrigerator, Daddy," replies Anton. "Refrigerator, icebox, the same thing." Agnello Braganza opens the refrigerator door. Agnello warns Anton, "By the way, don't tell Mommy. She thinks I drink all the little juices and leave none for her. She will have my head." Anton shakes his head. After retrieving a juice of his own, Agnello closes the refrigerator door and pops open the top immediately. After taking a drink, he noticed something was troubling his son. "So, what's on your mind?" Agnello asks. "Nothing," Anton says. "What makes you say that?" "You're my son. I have known you since birth. Well, I had this strange dream about Adeline." "Really? What was it about?" She was giving our baby a bath. "A baby? A baby? It's a sign of the Lord. A baby dream. What a wonderful sign. I know you and Adeline would have. And Adeline would be a perfect match." Agnello places his juice on the table. He is so overjoyed, he grabs Anton's head and gives him a big kiss on his forehead. Agnello cups his face and says, "Ah, my son.
cannot wait until you and my future daughter-in-law bless us with grandchildren. Was it a boy or a girl? Anton says, I don't know. I didn't get a good look. Oh, no matter. Let's pray that he or she will be blessed with good health, intelligence, and health and beauty. I remember vividly the day you and your mommy gave birth to you and Monique. What a sight. You and your sister were perfect in every way. Now you have grown an honorable young man like your father, and you are on the verge of starting your own family of your own. As for Nadaline, she is going to be a beautiful and dutiful young lady. As for your sister, she's growing to be a beautiful and dutiful young lady. Soon we'll be arranging for her to be married. This is a wonderful sign. Agnello thinks to himself, the accusation of Anton being the father of another woman's baby has to be a fallacy. Thank you, Father, for answering my prayers. Agnello pats his son on the back. Anton gives his father a faint smile. Now that you have told me this beautiful sign from God, I can enjoy my drink. Let's make a toast, Agnello says, raising his juice bottle in the air. Anton is so overwhelmed, but he raises his juice bottle in the air with his father. Let's make a toast. Anton starts, to new beginnings of love, laughter, and happiness. Cheers, Anton says. They clean their bottles together and drink their juices. Ah, Agnello replies. So satisfying. Agnello then proceeds to leave the kitchen, leaving his son alone with his thoughts. When his father finally left, Anton put his head down on a table. Don't forget, Agnello exclaims, popping his head back into the kitchen. Don't tell mommy about the little juices. Anton lifts his head, turns to his father and says, I won't, daddy. When Agnello goes off to enjoy his drink, Anton sits at the table. He cannot shake that image of the baby in his mind. Anton thinks to himself, how could anyone understand that baby in my dream looked exactly like Zora? I don't understand. Okay, that includes my reading from Chalice of the Book of Life, Chapter 7. Please tune in for the next chapter. And that includes the world of Aja Pearl. It's my world, and I'm so glad you came. Thank you, and have a good day.